Today we're in 2 Chronicles, chapter 21, for our 16th study in the book of 2 Chronicles. And Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. It says, Then Jehoshaphat rested with his fathers and was buried with them in the city of David. And Jehoram, his son, succeeded him as king. And recall from last time that Jehoram was also the son of wicked king, I should say the son-in-law of wicked king Ahab from the north. So that was a mistake, a huge mistake by Jehoshaphat to allow his son to marry the wicked daughter of the wicked couple Ahab and Jezebel from the north. Verse 2, Jehoram's brothers, the son of Jehoshaphat, were Azariah, Jehiel, Zechariah, Azarihu, Michael, and Shephatiah. All these were the sons of Jehoshaphat, king of Israel. King of Israel, by the way, refers here to the southern kingdom, of course. That is what Jehoshaphat reigned over. And it says in verse 3, Their father had given them many gifts of silver and gold and articles of value, as well as fortified cities in Judah. But he had given the kingdom to Jehoram because he was his firstborn son, which wasn't unusual, was the norm of the day. And we see that all of Jehoshaphat's sons were pretty much set for life. And as far as we know, none of them disputed their brother Jehoram's right to reign. Verse 4. When Jehoram established himself firmly over his father's kingdom, he put all his brothers to the sword, along with some of the princes of Israel. And there was no excuse for this cruelty. But it sure does display the wickedness of King Jehoram, doesn't it? And it also shows that a very godly man like Jehoshaphat can have an evil son. Verse 5. Jehoram was 32 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 8 years. I guess the good news is he only reigned 8 years, which really isn't very long compared to the decades that his father and his godly grandfather reigned. It says in verse 6, He walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, as the house of Ahab had done, for he had married a daughter of Ahab. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord. So, the godly example of Jehoram's father, Jehoshaphat, was wiped out by the wicked example of Jehoram's in-laws, Ahab and Jezebel, and his equally wicked wife, Athaliah. Well, she's a real winner. We'll see that a little later on. Verse 7, Nevertheless, because of the covenant the Lord had made with David, the Lord was not willing to destroy the house of David. He had promised to maintain a lamp for him and his descendants forever. The only reason God did not remove the throne from Jehoram and his family is because he had given David his word that he wouldn't remove the throne from his offspring. So, he didn't wipe out the line of Jehoram and the entire family of Jehoram because of his promise to David. So, God endured the wickedness of this man because of his promise. So, God is a God who keeps his word, even when it is painful for him to do so. And that's why he expects us to keep our word, even when it hurts. Verse 8, In the time of Jehoram, Edom rebelled against Judah and set up its own king. Earlier the nation Edom had been conquered by David, but in Jehoram's time they broke away and again became an independent country. So look at how Jehoram and his kingdom is beginning to experience problems that his predecessors didn't have to deal with. And there's a reason for that. Verse 9. Verse 9, so Jehoram went there with his officers and all his chariots. The Edomites surrounded him and his chariot commanders, but he rose up and broke through by night. Jehoram took his army to conquer Edom once again. However, while they were camped out on the way, they were surrounded by Edom's army. They did not recapture Edom. Instead, they barely escaped with their lives. 10. To this day, Edom has been in rebellion against Judah. Libna revolted at the same time because Jehoram had forsaken the Lord, the God of his fathers. And there you see the reason for his foreign policy failures. He rebelled against God, so the Lord punished him with failure. 11. He had also built high places on the hills of Judah and had caused the people of Jerusalem to prostitute themselves and had led Judah astray. It was bad enough for Jehoram, bad enough that he worshipped idols himself. But he made the matter worse by leading his people into idolatry as well. And so we see that all the holy progress his father Jehoshaphat worked so hard for so many years to obtain was quickly undone by this wicked son of his. Verse 12. Jehoram received a letter from Elijah the prophet, which said, "This is what the Lord, the God of your father David, says. You have not walked in the ways of your father Jehoshaphat, or of Asa, king of Judah." Elijah the prophet, great prophet of God, wrote this letter, but he died before he could deliver it to the king personally. In it, by the word of the Lord, Jehoram is accused of wickedness, and he is without excuse, too, because he had godly examples in his father and in his grandfather. 13. But you have walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, and you have led Judah and the people of Jerusalem to prostitute themselves, just as the house of Ahab did. You have also murdered your own brothers, members of your father's house, men who were better than you. The king murdered his brothers, even though they were good. Instead of living for God and trusting him to keep him on the throne, trusting God to keep him on the throne, Jehoram became paranoid and murdered his brothers. Verse 14. So now the Lord is about to strike your people, your sons, your wives, and everything that is yours with a heavy blow. As punishment, for starters anyway, the king and his entire family would experience the terror of invasions. But that's not all. Verse 15. You yourself will be very ill with a lingering disease of the bowels until the disease causes your bowels to come out. As punishment for his sin, the king would experience a long, painful disease that would slowly rot his intestines. What a testimony this is to God's hatred of sin, and to the fact that his punishment of sinners who refuse to repent is very real, and it is inevitable. 16. Here it goes. The Lord aroused against Jehoram the hostility of the Philistines and of the Arabs, who lived near the Cushites. So the enemies of Israel, who had been complacent for such a long time, are now causing trouble. God is moving quickly to fulfill his prophecy of judgment. Verse 17. They attacked Judah, invaded it, and carried off all the goods found in the king's palace, together with his sons and wives. Not a son was left to him except Ahaziah, the youngest. And so the king's entire family, with the exceptions of his youngest son, were captured. Perhaps the youngest son was spared to be the next king by God because, being the youngest, he was likely the least corrupted by his father. 18. After all this, the Lord afflicted Jehoram with an incurable disease of the bowels. And we can only imagine how horrible this was. But you know what? Yes, it was horrible. But God told him ahead of time that it was punishment for his sin. Remember that. So, you know, Jehoram didn't have to think that this was just some kind of a accident or something that, you know, just happened. God told him this would happen, and now it has happened. And so God was graciously showing Jehoram that he could expect pain, at least this bad, in eternity, if he didn't repent. This was punishment for his sin, and he knew it. At least he should have known it, because it was told to him that it was going to happen before it happened. Verse 19. In the course of time, at the end of the second year, his bowels came out because of the disease, and he died in great pain. His people made no fire in his honor, as they had for his fathers. And so his insides were literally eaten away for 2 years until he died. And the thing is, because he was so evil, no one cared that he died. 20. Jehoram was 32 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 8 years. He passed away to no one's regret and was buried in the city of David, but not in the tombs of the kings. Ding dong, the king is dead. No one cared. They were actually probably relieved to get rid of the bum. The sad thing, in addition to his evil influence, had probably led to the damnation of many people there. Doesn't say that he ever repented either. Apparently all of God's attempts to wake him up before he died, even the pain that he sent him, warning shot concerning what was coming in eternity, all of God's efforts were to no avail. Next time, chapter 22. Until then, so long, everyone.